Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. Well, last couple of summers, I have been fortunate enough to go fish a very special place on this planet. That's the way I describe it to everybody. When people ask me about it or they see some of the pictures, I say, man, this is a special place up here. And it really is. And it gets very little pressure. And the fish in this lake are absolute giants. I'm talking about Tazon Lake in northwest Saskatchewan. And to tell us more about it is Trevor Montgomery from Tazon Lake Lodge. Trevor, we've been talking off the air, and the more we talk, the more excited I get about going back up there this summer.
Absolutely, Brett. Thanks for the opportunity to be on here and have a chat about Tazon. I love talking about Tazon Lake. It's an amazing fishery, and I'm looking forward to it too as well. Can't wait to get you back in my boat, and we'll head into a few unknown and uncharted waters this year too. Like I sent you that message the other day about one of our areas that hasn't been fished for over 10 years, one of those lakes, and just teeming with fish, and we're going to go try that out this year too as well and see what kind of fun we can have there.
Okay. Twist my arm. That sounds terrible, but let's start with the main lake, Tazon Lake, first of all. So for our listeners right now, it's a legitimate chance at a world record lake trout, some giant pike in this lake. We'll talk a little bit more about the fish, but tell our listeners where Tazon Lake is, Trevor.
Well, Tazon Lake is in the farthest northwest corner of Saskatchewan, right up against the Saskatchewan, Alberta and Northwest Territories border. And it's very unique because there's great big high hills all the way around. It's like a mountain range, and it's a super deep lake, especially deep as compared to any of the other lakes you find across the prairies. Just amazingly deep depths, easily over 400 feet. And they say there's 900 in the lake, but I've never found that. But, easily over 400 feet for miles and miles.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember last year, I think we went over one of those deep holes, and I want to say it was like 465 is what we saw come up on the depth finder there, the graph, 465 feet. I wanted to go swimming, and the water temperature may have been a little cold.
That size of fish in the lake, I don't know if I'd be swimming in it.
Yeah, well, some huge fish, obviously, and part of the reason the fish get so big, obviously, is because of those depths and the size of the lake and everything. But the fact of how that lake was created also contributes to the size of those fish. And Trevor, obviously, we can talk about the number of fishermen at sea each year because it's not very much. But the bigger thing is that it doesn't get commercially fished, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's in a special management zone in Saskatchewan, so it's actually never been commercially fished, which is very rare because most lakes, with any viable fish source, they're going to commercially fish them. And they're actually, over the last couple of years here, they've really been pushing again for a lot of these lakes. So all them big ones, they're getting fished. And quite often, it seems like the limits for a lot of that commercial fishing are going up over the last few years. And that's going to take a toll over time. Once those big fish are gone, they never are there to bite again. And with us maintaining the strict catch and release guidelines, other than a couple of little ones for shore lunch, every one of those big ones get put back, and we handle them very carefully. And of course, because they're our bread and butter, and some of those fish could darn well be 100 years old.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about fish growing, a quarter of an inch, half an inch a year, I mean, your growing season up there is real short because of how far north you are. And that also brings up when your spring is and when your ice is. We literally just got a message here the other day about some of the different lakes that are finally starting to open up here in Minnesota. It's been such a late spring here in Minnesota that I'm assuming it's going to be late up there as well. Generally, you're in that mid to late June for ice out, or mid-June for ice out. Is that right up there?
Yeah, well, normally ice usually goes out the first week of June or so, and then we try, but it's kind of a crapshoot. Some weeks it's a little bit later, some weeks it's a little bit earlier. So we're kind of careful, and we don't book right on the edge of ice out. We'll usually try and leave a week after, or a couple of weeks after, and then it also allows the water to warm up too as well, so which makes fishing a little bit better, right? Because when it's super cold like that, things just, life hasn't started in the ocean yet, basically is how it is. And just making sure that we don't have to scramble then afterwards to try and figure out, we got to rebook and that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Trevor,
typically we do the 23rd is usually.
Okay. 23rd of June is when they start fishing up there on Tazon Lake. Tazon Lake Lodge, Trevor Montgomery is our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio. And for our listeners, Trevor, tell them why they should book a trip to Tazon Lake. Let's talk about these fish.
Certainly, yeah. Lake trout in the size ranges that you will find in very few spots on this earth. You know, often we're able to get into lake trout, and everybody, pretty much every client that's ever come has caught their personal biggest lake trout they've ever caught. And a lot of them have been at many other lodges that offer big lake trout, and ours come in a whole different category of their own, in my opinion. You know, I've been guide for quite a number of years, and you just don't see lake trout like this at anywhere.
So what it was, 11 or 12 years ago now, somebody caught a fish right near that world record size, right?
Yeah, that was, it would have been 05, 06, 06, summer of 06, and it was 72 and a half pounds. you know, just amazing size fish. It looked like a pig with fins, you know, just amazing. And it's on YouTube. You know, a person can YouTube it and see the video of it actually being caught.
Man. And so, yeah, that world record, that's right around the world record size for lake trout. And, you know, we catch Lakers here in Minnesota, and I've really started to have a respect even for stream trout, but lake trout, just the fight that they put up. And, you know, and if we catch a 40-incher here, we're pretty, you know, that's an incredible fish. That's an incredible fish anywhere. But you might see, you know, some people go their whole lives without catching a 40-inch lake trout around here. You might catch, maybe see one a year in some areas. Up there, I don't want to say it's commonplace by any means, but it seems like we had no shortage of 40-inch lake trout when we were up there, Trevor.
No, you know, the fishing's amazing, absolutely. And not taking those fish out make all the difference in the world. We did have, we had days where we had multiple 40-plus incher fish all the way up to, you know, those mid to high 40s. And, you know, you just don't find that anywhere.
Yeah, and 50, we saw some 50-inch fish. And so what? Mm-hmm. The week after, let's see, last year when we were up there, we caught a couple, I think, that were in the 50-pound range. And I caught one the year before that was 56 pounds. It was 48 inches, but it was 30 and a half inches around or something like that. Just an amazing girth on that fish. And the week after we were up there last year, Trevor, somebody caught a 67-pound lake trout?
Yeah, 66.5 is what they say they come out at with the conversion factor, because we don't weigh any fish. We just do a length and a girth, right?
Sure.
And we use an international conversion factor. And that fish was 52 and a half inches long, and 52 and a half and a tiny fraction more, just over 52 and a half. And the girth eludes me off the top of my head here. I'm sorry, but yeah.
52 huge, and a half I think long, is what it was, huge.
56 and a half pounds. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, And then the next evening, the guy went out again with his guide, and they ended up catching another one that was right at that 50 inches or 49 and a half inches. It was, another 60-pounder, just a beautiful fish. Both of them were amazing fish. And they had, you know, they caught multiple other fish over the course of the time of their week that they were up there. But those were the two biggest, of course. And, yeah, just absolutely amazing.
I mean, that right there should tell you, a guy caught two lake trout in the 60-plus pound range during his week-long stay up at Tazon Lake. Trevor Montgomery is our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about bucket list destination trips or summer fishing trips. Right now, a lot of guys are planning their summer fishing trips. We're getting excited about open water fishing as the ice finally starts melting away from some of our lakes around here. And Northwest Saskatchewan is where Tazon Lake is. I've been able to go up there the last couple of years. We got, of course, a ton of pictures and videos, Tazon Lake Lodge on Facebook and Tazon Lake Lodge on Instagram. You can see some of that stuff. And, of course, even at sportingjournalradio.com. And we filmed, of course, some TV shows up there. We filmed with Northland Outdoors. And, you know, Trevor, I've been watching. It seems like once a week I make somebody watch a Northland Outdoors episode from Tazon. And we did two episodes up there, the pike fishing and then also that lake trout. And, you know, when you watch outdoor television, Trevor, a lot of times the big climactic scene happens at the end, of course. That's how you make good TV. And some guys, some hosts, some editors they might fudge the timeline a little bit so that you end with that big fish. But that literally, you couldn't script it any other way. When we were up there 2 years ago, a couple years ago now, when we went up there, it was literally the last night of the trip. We caught big fish. We had a great TV show in the can. And I was telling, I had some relatives this week that we were watching. I was making them watch the show. And I said, So we weren't even planning on being out there fishing. It was the last night of the trip. We decided to go back out, and you can see it on my face. You know, I hooked into a big fish and I was just having fun. The pressure was off. You know, if we didn't, obviously we wanted to land it. We had the camera running, but we had a show. We had a great show in the can. So you can see me just kind of relaxed as we're bringing this fish in. And then all of a sudden my demeanor changed. Because that fish went down to the bottom in 110 feet of water, whatever it was, Trevor, and I couldn't move it. I couldn't move that fish, and that's when I look at the camera, and I'm like, this is a big fish, folks, and that's when I realize it, and you see us kind of relaxing and laughing, and all of a sudden you see laser focus on both of our faces.
In serious mode. Yeah,
it was, sure. It was serious, and I'll tell you what, when that fish rolled into the net there, it was, I use the word special a lot when I talk about this, but it was a special feeling because it was an amazing fish, and to see that come up, I mean, that's the biggest fish I've ever caught, and it was an unbelievable experience.
Absolutely. No, it was great, and to see it all come together like that, and like you say, you know, often it's it doesn't always happen as you exactly plan it, but you know, it worked out perfectly for that, and to end with that size of a fish was just amazing, and the feeling of it, you know, and right down to the wire.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, we didn't even plan on really going fishing that evening. We were just sliding out to go take some pictures and do a little bit more video stuff, and then we just happened to think, hey, why don't we do one more pass there? And yeah. One pass is all it took. Bang, bang, two hogs, and back to the lodge.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and it was a change in lure, and you, I mean, right before that, you caught a big trophy lake trout right before that didn't make the show. And then you suggested I switch lures, and I did, and it literally was 30 seconds after switching lures that monster hit. It was 56 pounds. It was unbelievable. You can watch that video. It's on YouTube, and it's on various places online, too. And I think we've got it shared on the Tazen Lake Facebook page as well. We got Trevor Montgomery with us. We're going to take a quick break because we filmed another show up there, and obviously we're going to talk lake trout because that's the big ticket item up there, but the pike fishing is... It is the most exciting fishing I've ever done, and I want to talk a little bit about the pike when we come back here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages. Perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, we're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, which spans across five states here in the Midwest. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, and we're just going beyond that because so many people that are listening to the show right now or that listen or live here in our listening area take fishing trips out of the area. Maybe you're looking for a bucket list destination. You talk about big ticket locations, places where you can go after certain species or certain sizes of different species that you want to do. And right now we're talking about the chance at a world record lake trout in Northwest Saskatchewan at Tazen Lake. Tazen Lake Lodge owner and guide Trevor Montgomery joining us here on Sporting Journal Radio. Trevor, you know, we're going back up here in July. Your window for people to come up is what, kind of that third week in June and then through basically till the end of summer, sort of?
Yeah, exactly, till the end of summer. Typically, you know, till the end of August is kind of what we run, and definitely there's a peak time, and the fishing, because the water stays pretty darn cold, the fishing stays pretty good throughout the whole season, you know, depending on what you want to fish. It's just we fish them in different areas.
Sure. And, you know, we talked about giant lake trout earlier in the show, and of course, that's why I go up there. And I remember the first time I went up there, you made me try to catch some small lakers first. And it's fun, and you have a reason for doing that. And, you know, for a guy that wants to catch fish, and if you know, obviously you go up there for the big ones, but you could, if you wanted to, you could have 100 fish lake trout days up there, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it would be no problem doing that, catching 100 or even 100 and some odd, depending on, you know, where you're fishing, how long, what kind of effort you're spending on it. But definitely there's quantity and quality. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we stopped for shore lunch one day, and you had mentioned as we were drifting into the shore there, to you're going to hop out, start heating up the oil, and you're like, yeah, that's a pretty good spot for a big pike. And I was like, oh, really? Well, do you mind if I cast a couple times? No, go ahead. So I grab the rod. I step out of the boat. I don't even move away from the boat. I step out of the boat and start casting. And in six casts, I had five lake trout that I had hooked into, which, you know, is just unreal. I did, you know, it was just as good of a lake trout spot, apparently, as it was a northern pike spot. So lake trout everywhere. But we also did that. We had another guy step out at shore lunch and caught the biggest northern pike of his life right from shore. It was 44, 45 inches. I can't remember what it was, but that
46 incher, that one.
That was unbelievable. And the pike in that lake, Trevor, is, you know, I like to say, when you need a, when your arms need a break from giant lake trout, you can go catch some of these monster pike. And, I mean, you've had 50 inch pike come out of that lake, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The camp record is 53 inches.
Wow.
And the unique thing about Tasman is that you have this huge deep water body, but then there's five major rivers flowing into it. Right. And those major rivers form some unbelievable pike water. And we have some of them are blackish water where it's dark water, you know, the tannins in the water coming in, and then also just crystal clear. And that's a unique thing about Tasman too, as well, on the main water body. It's so clear that you can see down a lot of times down into that 30, 40 foot range and be able to see things that even when you're catching those eater sized lake trout off the island there when we were having shore lunch, you know, it was just so clear. And some of the videos you got of it and pictures were amazing, you know. That spot there, and another, we were only 2 weeks early. That's the thing, is the lake trout were still there, but in another week, 2 weeks, then that would have been full of pike right in that area. Just a little bit early, yet the water is still cold. The weeds hadn't started growing yet there.
Sure, but there's other spots where we found those lake trout or those northern pike. And you talked about the clarity of the water up there. It was so clear. And those shallower bays in the early part of the year, they were coming in. And as the water warmed up, the pike really got active in there. And it got to the point, Trevor, where you'd stand up in the boat and just kind of cruise through real slow. And you'd see them. And you were sight fishing all these pike. And you could pick out the big ones. You'd see pike everywhere. It'd be like, nah, too small, too small. No, that one's, oh, there's a big one. Yeah, let's try to get that one. And you'd cast towards it, and you literally had to try to pull your bait away from some of the smaller fish because there were so many pike in there. And we hooked into, I think that first trip up there, I'd caught one pike over 40 inches in my life, Trevor, and I think I caught eight or nine in the span over the course of 3 days. I think I caught eight or nine over 40 inches that first year up there, and sight fishing all of them. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's amazing. It's so much fun too, as well, to be able to pick them out like that and see them laying there. And then the nice thing too is you can see how they react when you're fishing them. So it gives you some ideas or indications sometimes what the triggers are for those pike, especially when you're working that fish and trying to see how, you know, how am I going to get it to bite? And often they come just rolling in and grabbing it, especially when you got the warm water and you know, some of those areas at that time of year. But it's so much fun to see it. Just watch it right from the time you cast to it, to bringing it in, and then when it does its big smash and attack on it and that. And often you get to see it right from the time of the cast, right till the time you catch it and then get into the boat.
And that's exactly what happened. That first 40-inch pike that I caught a couple of years ago on that first trip up there, I saw him. I watched him react to the lure. I watched him hit it, and I could watch the entire fight. Watch it all under the water from the boat there, and we landed it. It was the first, I don't remember, it was 41 or 42. But being able to see that whole process, I'd never seen anything like that before, Trevor.
Excellent. Yeah, it's so much fun. It's just a great way of fishing too as well, and it really gets you pumped, you know. Gets people so excited to be able to see all that, and especially when they come barreling in like a freight train. And they really hesitate those big gills flare open, you know, and they just grab a hold of it and swim to the side and poof, set the hook and the fight's on.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, so I just have one more story I want to share, and then we got to wrap this up. But we were casting for big pike. And a lot of times we cast a big bait, like a big MEP spinner or a big crankbait or something like that. And if they didn't hit it and we saw them next to the boat, we'd grab a spinning rod with a streamer fly on it and try to, and that usually did the trick. But I'd cast out at one point with that MEP spinner, and the water exploded immediately. I hooked into this fish, and then I lost him. And as is the case, as we've seen many times out there, either pike or lake trout, they'll keep following it, maybe hit it again. And I was bringing it in, and I saw the fish behind it, and I could see this huge head. And I was like, holy smokes, he's still there, he's still there. I was starting to get nervous. I saw a smaller fish come up next to him. I'm like, God, doggone it, here comes a smaller one. He's going to come in and eat it ahead of this big one that I want to catch. So I was trying to keep it away from the smaller one, trying to keep the bigger one interested, and finally that smaller one came in and hit it, and we brought it in, and that smaller one was 41 inches. So and that one was dwarfed next to that big one. So I just can't imagine how big that other pike was, Trevor.
Oh, certainly, yeah. And often, too, the little one might come in and grab the bait, and then the big one will grab the little fish.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you got two for the price of one as well. That's a lot of fun and cool to see.
Well, I can't wait to get back up there. And, you know, we want some more people to come join us. I know you still have some select dates open for this summer. So if people want to fulfill that bucket list trip, if they want to come up to Tazon Lake, do some sight fishing for pike, or realistically go after some 50, 60, even 70 pound lake trout, just unbelievably big fish. What should they do, Trevor?
Well, you can go online and check out our website. So you can go online and check out our website at Tazon Lake, or you can, you know, give us a phone call. Our number for the lodge phone is 306-291-3151. Or you can go onto our Facebook page at Tazon Lake Lodge 2011 Limited and check us out too as well there. So there's a number of different ways to get a hold of us. But as a whole, if you're interested, get a hold of us, and we can definitely start a dialogue, have a chat, and see how we can get you up there and when we can.
It's a 7-day trip in some beautiful country. Of course, we saw moose up there. There's black bear up there. We saw sea ducks up there. There's a ton of wildlife, and you're going to catch a ton of fish. So Tazon Lake Lodge, Trevor Montgomery, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for the offer. I look forward to getting you up there again, Brett.
And I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett. I know everybody says money can't buy happiness. But it can buy me a boat, it can buy me a truck to pull me.
Anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of
the
Woods.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip.
Lake of the Woods, MN.
This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. There's many things that I wish were around when I was a kid that are around now for our kids growing up. And this Clay Target League has just completely exploded across the state of Minnesota and across the country. High schools all over the place are doing it. And now there's a new announcement that just came out recently where it's getting even bigger. And we're going to find out more about that right now. We're going to talk to John Nelson here from the Clay Target League. John, how is it going?
Yeah, it's going well, Brett. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Thanks for being on once again. And of course, we've had Jim Sable on the show a number of times, and Jim is great, and it's amazing what he's done with everything. And so I appreciate you coming on. You're the vice president of the Minnesota State High School Clay Target League. Can you believe how far this league has come?
You know, to be honest, I don't think anyone's believed how far this league has come. You know, when we just started about 10 years ago with three teams and 30 kids.
Right.
There's anyone around that believes where we would be today.
Right. I can't believe just how fast, and not just how big it's gotten, but how fast it's grown. And tell our listeners the latest news.
Yeah, well, the USA High School Clay Target League, which oversees all of the state high school clay target leagues, that's, you know, been part of most people's lives here over the past 10 years, has teamed up with the Minnesota College Athletic Conference to provide a clay target league for those good folks. And so the MCAC is comprised of over 20 public, two-year community and technical colleges that are throughout Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. And they provide athletic programs for these new students that are coming into school that they can participate in other sports that are similar throughout high school. And because of the popularity of the Clay Target League, folks at the MCAC saw a great value in not only adding kids to their curriculum that are interested in participating in the sport, but also adding new member schools that so other technical colleges can come on board through the MCAC and be member schools.
Yeah, I mean, did you always think you'd take it to colleges someday?
Well, you know, when we changed our name of the organization to the USA High School Clay Target League, we always had that high school name in there, thinking that perhaps someday we could offer a college program. You know, obviously our ability to name this the Clay Target League, you know, allowed us to offer multiple shooting sport disciplines, like in Minnesota where we do skeet and trap. And so, yeah, you know, I think way back in our minds we thought about it, but I can honestly say it sure wasn't 10 years ago we were thinking about it.
Right. John Nelson, our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Clay Target Leagues and how it's gone from a high school sport with just a couple of high schools to really nationwide, and even some other countries have been showing interest in it as well, and now even into colleges. With it being in this MCAC conference, it's primarily two-year schools right now?
That is correct. So they're community and technical colleges throughout the states.
Now, do you imagine that going to more universities and big, maybe being a Big Ten sport someday?
Well, why not? I mean, you know, at no point did we think that this would be colleges. And you know, I think what's been amazing is the Clay Target League has always received inquiries from post-secondary schools, you know, colleges, tech, community colleges, and elsewhere, wondering if there's opportunities for these kids to shoot after the high school because they've really been involved in the high school league for so many years. And if you think about it, we have kids that enter this league as young as, you know, in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So, you know, here they are, you know, 6-7 years later, you know, out there shooting at clay targets that, okay, now that that's done, what do I get to do now? And so there's always been very limited options out there. They enjoy the format of the Clay Target League, the coaches, the parents, and everyone that's involved with it. So it just simply makes sense to offer these kids additional opportunities once they get out of high school.
So how many schools are involved? I think you said that there's 20 schools that were in that. Are all of them going to offer teams? And is it going to be run similar to the way the high school program is run?
It's going to run very similar to the high school program. So there's not going to be a limit on team size. We're doing true team scoring, virtual shoot. It's very similar to the high school clay target school. And so right now there's currently 11 out of the 20 schools that are participating in the inaugural season. That number may change because schools can come aboard at least for the next couple months or so before. School starts in August next year, or this fall, I should say.
Sure. Sure. John Nelson, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Clay Target League expanding from high school to colleges now. And obviously, who knows where this could go? The sky's the limit with it. And I remember talking to Jim Sable last year, I think, or I can't remember the last time I talked to him. It was a while ago, at least. And he was saying that Norway had expressed interest in the high school league. I know I think it's in a couple of provinces in Canada, isn't it? It's gone international now, hasn't it?
Well, not formally. So we have received inquiries from a couple provinces, you know, and our friends to the north. And, you know, we continue to say that, you know, there's about 25,000 high schools left in the United States that don't have clay target teams. So we got an awful lot of work yet to do to help provide that sport to those schools. But now if you throw in the college aspect and the 5,000-6,000 colleges, we have plenty of work to do for an awful long time.
Right. Well, let's review just a couple of things that's so great about this High School Clay Target League. It's been around for a long time, and what makes it not a long time, but it's expanded so much in that amount of time that it's been around. But it's been around, what, 10 years or whatever it is now. And some things to note. Who it's available to, girls and boys, adaptive students. You said kids as young as sixth grade can be a part of this. And Jim always used to make the comment that you could have this younger freshman girl standing up competing next to the captain of the high school football team, and they're on the same level, and she might even beat him too. And I'm sure there's been cases like that where that's happened. So it's so open to so many people. And when you talk about in this day and age, especially, and I know this question probably keeps coming up, but when you talk about high school kids and guns, it still remains the safest sport out there, right? With zero accidents.
Absolutely. I mean, since the league's inception, we've pulled the trigger more than 30 million times, and we've had more than 40,000 kids through our program, and we've never had a reported injury. So try to compare that to any other high school sport that's going on right now, and it's by far the safest sport in high school.
I always like to ask about what kind of pushback you get or what kind of criticism you might get. And it seems like there's always a case every year. And, of course, we know about what happened in Florida. Have you guys had any – did you get any pushback after what happened down there? Do you hear from people, or is it – or do you say, hey, our track record speaks for itself?
We've had literally no inquiries, you know, or pushback whatsoever. I mean, even with the unfortunate tragedy that happened at Parkland, is here our league, you know, expanded by almost 200 teams this year. We added about 6,000 kids. And so at least the school administrators who are making the decision are really looking at the facts and the data that's available to them to help make an educated decision that's in the best interest of their, you know, education community and their student athletes and their families. So it's important that, you know, they've conducted that due diligence. They understand the facts and they can move forward. And, you know, in the end, you know, these kids are doing better in school. They're not sitting on the couch at home, and everyone benefits from that.
Well, not only is it a sport, so there's competitiveness to it, which is always fun when you're growing up, but there's the social aspect to it. You're socializing with people that you may not have ever socialized with before. You're being introduced to guns, which has introduced a number of people to the world of outdoors, which we're always lamenting about how we're losing younger people in the hunting and fishing world. So you're reintroducing the youth to the world of outdoors. But the most important thing I think that this Clay Target League does is introduces people to gun safety and firearm safety and just provides education. And, you know, it's an important job that these coaches have out there, because they're doing such a great job talking about safety and firearm safety. I can't say enough good things about it, John.
It's critically important, you know, and we talked to school boards before, and we've said, you know, do you want kids to learn about firearms in school or on the street?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty easy question to answer. And so here, you know, as the league's priorities are safety, fun, and marksmanship in that order, you know, once you get after the safety aspect of it, the best thing about this is when kids turn around after shooting at those clay targets moving 40 miles an hour, they're having a lot of fun doing it with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's great. I can't believe how fast it's growing. Congratulations on moving into the college world with the Clay Target League. And if somebody out there wants to find out more information, maybe they want to get their kids involved, or they want to help out one way or another, or somebody from a university is listening, where do they find out more information about this?
They can go to usaclaytarget.com. They can select their favorite state for their state high school program, or they can just simply contact us through the website to ask more information about the college program.
Well, you guys are doing a great job. John Nelson, I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, Brett, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We are back on Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online at sportingjournalradio.com or on demand in podcastable in iTunes. Heading back up to Lake of the Woods now, where some things are starting to change. And we're going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism about all of that. Let's just start off with it. The seasons are finally changing, Joe.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, boy, it's amazing how quick things can change when we get this warm weather. I mean, I was, you know, Lake of the Woods on Monday, it was 81 degrees.
Wow.
So, wow. I mean, so things are changing quick. And, you know, the ice is out into the lake now. There's still ice on the lake, don't get me wrong, but the ice is out in front of the gap, which is where the mouth of the Rainy River is. The bays are ice free. I talked to one person who was ice fishing last week, the last hurrah for pike, and he said when he was cutting ice with his auger, the bottom 2 feet of ice would just chunk.
Oh, sure.
So that means it's rotting from the bottom up because of the warmer water in the lake, and it's also rotting from the top down. So it's not going to be long. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have open water for the opener as far as the whole lake being open, but I guarantee you that there'll be good patches of open water as well as the Rainy River is going to be game on. I tell you this, there's going to be a ton of walleyes in that river, big walleyes, because of the late season.
Yeah, and I was kind of holding out hope that we'd be ice fishing on the opener, and I'm sure I could find some place to go out on some sketchy ice to do it, but nope, I'm going to opt for the boat now at this point for the walleye opener. Joe Henry's our guest, and you mentioned 81 degrees on Monday, and it's funny because I was up in Duluth filming for Prairie Sportsman, and I'd seen that 81 degree forecast, so I kind of packed accordingly, and we spent half the day where we could see our breath, so it may have been 81 in other parts of the state, but you get along that big lake, Lake Superior, and it's definitely a little bit cooler up there.
Yeah, Lake Superior has its own climate, you know, and quite honestly, a lot of the Great Lakes do. I mean, it's interesting how you'll get the snow, the lake effect snow, and in different areas. You know, when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, it was interesting because the western part of Cleveland would get an inch of snow, and you go across the Cuyahoga River in the East Cleveland, and they had 8 inches.
Oh, wow.
And that's lake effect. There was just a line there that where it got affected. And so, yeah, you know, it doesn't surprise me that the Lake Superior was colder. But you're right. Mother Nature is changing things quick, Brett.
Yeah, for sure. And we were watching the tributaries, and it rained just a little bit, and it was melt. There was still snow. There's still a lot of snow around Duluth up there. And that rain that we got melted a bunch more snow, and all those rivers rose almost a foot while we were there in a short amount of time. So it was kind of crazy, but seasons are changing. The walleye opener right around the corner coming up here soon, and maybe some new regulations for Lake of the Woods on the horizon, Joe.
Yeah, you know, so I've been fortunate enough to be part of this Lake of the Woods input group with Minnesota DNR Fisheries. And, you know, really what they do is they get a number of stakeholders from different aspects of the fishing community that have to do with Lake of the Woods. And they pull them together, and they want to, you know, hear from us. They want to hear our opinions, our thoughts, and they give presentations. They educate us. It's just been a very good process by them. And they ultimately come out with some recommendations. And, you know, Brett, when they come out with a recommendation, it still has a long ways to go. They have to, you know, meet with a commissioner to get approval on them, and then they have to go and if that goes okay, then they have to post these proposed changes at the public accesses around Lake of the Woods for 90 days. They have to have a community meeting. Then they have a meeting down in St. Paul. And, you know, if this, all this goes, then the goal would be to try to get these changes in the regulation book come December of this year, so they in turn could take effect next year in 2019. Two proposed changes. And these are proposed changes, not for sure, but two recommendations. One of them is on the Rainy River in the spring. You know, we have a spring fishing season for walleyes. Our walleye season goes till April 14th, so it's extended. And you know, the Rainy River is the biggest part of that, where people go up there and catch these great big walleyes and catch, in many cases, a lot of them. And you know, right now you can keep two walleyes per day under 19 and a half inches, nothing over. What they're going to do is they're proposing to eliminate the keeping of any fish, to have a catch and release season for the spring fishing only. And the reason they're proposing to get rid of the keeping the two fish under 19 and a half is that, you know, when looking at their reports when they're doing electrofishing up in the rapids where those fish are spawning, they're noticing that there's fewer males than there used to be. And typically a fish under 19 and a half, there's a good chance it's a male. So they just want to make sure that the fish have the very best chance for spawning. And quite frankly, most people go to the Rainy in the, you know, March and April to catch big fish and to catch numbers, not to go keep two walleyes, you know. So that shouldn't be a big deal, I don't think. And another change they're proposing is that, you know, right now, the winter season, you can keep a combined limit of 8 walleyes and saugers, with up to 4 of those being walleyes. And then, of course, the slot limit is 19 and a half to 28 inches. You got to throw back. You can keep one fish per day over 28. It's the same in the summer, except it's a 6 combined limit of 6 fish in the summer. Up to 4 can be walleyes. Well, what they're proposing is that in the winter season, you know, we get a lot of pressure in the winter. And with, you know, wheelhouses and things like that, we're getting even more pressure.
Sure.
This last year we had, actually the last 2 years, it was about the same. We had about 2 million angling hours on the ice.
Wow.
Just for the ice season alone. So, you know, with that being said, what they're going to do is they're going to change that combined limit of 8 fish. And they're simply going to drop it by 2. They're going to change it from 8 until 6, a combined limit of 6 fish. That means you could keep your walleyes and saugers with up to 4 of them being walleyes per day. So it's not a huge change, but it's something that's going to take, it's going to give the resource just a little bit of breathing room there, because, you know, we do see a lot of pressure in the lake in the winter, and
sure,
we want to make sure, most importantly, that the fishery is sustainable. So
if they're going to talk about bringing that up in December for 2019, so we could see those potential regulation changes, the proposed changes, obviously next spring, so it'd be a catch and release on walleyes next spring on the Rainy River, and then new winter keep regulations. Would that take place then the following winter, or would that be in place then for this winter?
The plan would be it'd be in place for this winter.
Okay.
So, and normally we get fish houses out. We start fishing right around, you know, right around that December 10th timeframe is when the resorts get their permanent fish houses out on average. So it could be in place for this coming ice fishing season for sure.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods and some potential regulation changes. We'll keep you updated, of course, as Joe is on the show every week here on Sporting Journal Radio. And just about 2 minutes left here, Joe. You were mentioning, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, and it's been one of the coolest things that I've done is to sit in a viewing blind on a lek, and I've done it with prairie chickens. I've never done it with sharp-tailed grouse, and you brought it up on the show a few weeks ago. I was surprised to learn that you have a healthy sharp-tailed grouse population up there around Lake of the Woods with some viewing blinds, and you went and checked those out the other day?
Yeah, it was cool. I went with a manager of the DNR from the Baudette area. He's responsible for wildlife and such, and his name is Scott Loudenslager. And Scott, I met Scott at the DNR office in Baudette at 5:15 in the morning, and we slid out to an area where there's a blind. And you know, they have two blinds in two different areas, and these are open to the public. You just have to reserve them. They're free. And, you know, we got there just as it was getting light out. About a half dozen deer greeted us when we pulled up. And
cool.
We walked across a short stubble field, and there's a little blind there. I mean, it was small. He had two people could fit in it. They had 5-gallon pails with a cushion on them. And, you know, when we walked out, we flushed a bunch of Sharpies. And like Scott said, you know what, we're going to flush them and they're going to come back in about 10 minutes. And they did. And, you know, the blind is set right in the middle of their lek, which a lek is an area where they come back to every single year to the same area and do their mating dances to attract the females, the males do. And it was cool. We had birds all around us. I got some great photography. They're very beautiful birds. Of course, they do have a sharp tail. They're brownish. They blend in with the background real good. But they got kind of little throat sacs that turn purple when they make their noise or trying to attract a female. They got a little bit of an orange over their eyebrow. Just really a neat bird. We had them all around us. We probably had 12 to 15 around us at any given time. And they it was just cool. At one point, a marsh hawk flew over and they all flushed and they came back within about 5 minutes, you know. But a great experience. I mean, if you enjoy birding, if you enjoy just being in the outdoors in the spring, you know, sometime when you get up to the Lake of the Woods or make a trip up to Lake of the Woods to see that, it's really, really neat. What a beautiful morning. I told Scott, it's the first time I've ever been up at the crack of dawn, out in a blind, in the field, without a gun or a bow.
Yeah. Well, and that's some of the cool things to do in the spring. And I've done it with prairie chickens and actually have done it with rough grouse, watching rough grouse on drumming logs. In fact, you can watch us do that on this week's Prairie Sportsman and last week's Prairie Sportsman, who actually went on a Sharpie hunt. So some pretty cool birds here in the state of Minnesota. And of course, we are the land of fishing. And if people want to do some fishing up at Lake of the Woods this year, Joe, or even go up and sit in those viewing blinds, where can they find out more info about Lake of the Woods?
Whether it's sturgeon, walleyes, sharp-tailed grouse, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Game and Fish Department wants to help you celebrate and acknowledge the first fish an angler catches in North Dakota. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The Game and Fish Department is encouraging parents to capture their little angler's first catch on a specially designed first fish certificate. Unlike the Game and Fish Whopper and Catch and Release Clubs, First Fish has no qualifying weights or measurements. The only requirement is a successful landing of a North Dakota fish. Certificates are available to all who request them and have ample room for all the important information, such as name, age, lake, and a short fish story, plus a blank space for a photograph, big enough to contain the smile of the happiest little angler. Free certificates are available by contacting the Game and Fish Department at 701-328-6300 or send an email to ndgf@nd.gov. In other news, the department is sponsoring the Missouri River Splash, a recreation and boating safety event for everyone who enjoys the Missouri River. The event is Thursday, May 17th in Mandan from 2 to 5 p.m. at Moritz Sport and Marine. Displays, hands-on activities, demonstrations, regulations, registrations, and prizes are included. The event is free and people of all ages are invited to attend. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.